Charmed, and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Hi, how are you? This episode is coming to you both a little bit late and with no preparation. It's been a crazy week, working a lot, doing my summer classes. Summer classes have been, oh my God, tough. I'm doing 3 in a month, so I have a deadline like every day, some sort of homework. What am I taking? I'm taking a math class, what's it called? We learn about like focus groups, I don't know, something like that. And then another one, Asian global pop culture, which because the name of that class contains the phrase pop culture, I did not expect it to be difficult. Why is that my hardest class by far? Like compared to my like data analytics business class, doesn't even hold a candle to that class. And like the PowerPoints contain BTS videos and they're like 150 slides. It's crazy. So I've been working on that. I've been working in general. Having a little bit of fun, as per usual, but nothing crazy. So I didn't have a lot of time to record the podcast. So this is late, and I have very little idea about what I'm going to be talking about today, but we're rolling with it. And that'll just be the theme of this episode. And it'll be like we're hanging out. It'll be like we're just chilling, maybe sitting on the floor, drinking some wine, not literally because it's like 11 a.m. as I'm recording this, but we'll pretend. We'll maybe do what they do in the movies and pour a glass of water into a wine glass and then add a little bit of soy sauce so it looks like white wine. I don't know where I learned that, but that's a true fact about movies. I know about the business. I know about Hollywood. By the way, every now and then I see something that's like, crazy fact about Sex and the City. Those cocktails that they were always drinking, that's just water with food coloring in it. I mean, yeah. Did we think SJP was actually getting Cosmo drunk in the middle of the day, in the middle of her job? Of course. I mean, let's not ruin the magic. In all of our hearts, it was a true Cosmo. And in all of our lives, when we channel SJP and we're 18 years old and move to New York and start ordering Cosmos, of course, in our hearts and in our souls, it's a Cosmo that SJP is truly drinking. But if we're going to be real with ourselves, no, it sure isn't. And that's the unfortunate part about life, but it's important to keep the magic alive. God, I haven't ordered a Cosmo in such a long time. I should. The next time I go out, I should order a Cosmo because there's something so earnest and vulnerable about it. Because you're drinking it and people are looking at you and you're like, yeah, I sure am trying to be Carrie Bradshaw. And about half of us in this room are. And you know what? I'm that girl in this room who's not trying to hide the fact. I'm not trying to be like, oh, you know what? I'll get a gin and tonic. I'm a simple girl. I'm just trying to be me. And nobody else, and I'm trying to stay true to myself. I sure am not trying to stay true to myself because I watched Sex and the City at a pivotal age, and here I am, trying to be Carrie Bradshaw, like all the rest of you are on some level. But I'm doing it loud and proud, and so what? And on a certain level, we kind of are Carrie Bradshaw. People love to say, oh, you're not Carrie Bradshaw. No, here's the thing. You're not as rich as Carrie Bradshaw. That's the difference. She was making $200 a word writing about sex, even though she didn't seem to know much about sex during the series, which is fine. But she was making so much money. And that's really the main difference between Carrie Bradshaw and all of us. If we were making that much money, we would be her too. But I kind of am her in a way. You know, selfish, hedonistic, don't really know what's going on, hanging out with the girls, complaining about men. I guess she was broke in that one episode where she was like, oh my God, I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on shoes. I'm going to be the old lady who lives in her shoes. What happened on that episode? Did she end up making money? I'm sure she got some sort of writing job. imagine a modern Sex in the City, not And Just Like That, but like truly a modern Sex in the City where somebody was trying to be Carrie Bradshaw on like the writer's budgets today. Oh, there would be a layoffs episode. There would be an episode where Carrie Bradshaw is like begging for jobs on Twitter, which I'm not critiquing writers for begging for jobs on Twitter. God knows I would be too. Can you imagine those poor writers getting laid off every few months in this economy? Having thousands of followers and no job. Hello. Hello, who's the face of that movement? Jesus. I mean, I technically have a job, but you know what I mean. In my heart, in my soul, I am unemployed. There are some people, and I think I'm one of those people, where no matter how much of a job they have, and even if I get like a 9-to-5 one day, I'm still going to be unemployed on the inside. There's just something about me that screams that. And you know how you can tell is if you put on an outfit that is like all Ann Taylor Loft and you still look like you've never even seen the inside of an office, that's when you know you're unemployed on the inside. Because I have a lot of Ann Taylor Loft, I have a lot of J. Crew, I have a lot of Banana Republic, and I could wear nothing but that, 100% cotton, freshly steamed, and people would look at me and think, that girl does not have a job. And I'm so grateful that that's who I am. Because I do famously and tragically live in Midtown, so I see a lot of people who look and are very, very employed. And I gotta say, I don't love their vibe. I really don't. Just, I mean, there are some really unfortunate, like, outfits that I see on a day-to-day basis. And I wear some unfortunate outfits myself. Of course, we all do. Nobody's perfect. But there really is a difference to me. Anyway, what's new? The biggest thing that everybody's been talking about, I mean, New York turned sepia. New York, for one brief shining moment, and by that I mean 2 days, turned into the first half hour of The Wizard of Oz. It was crazy. If you haven't heard, and I'm absolutely sure that you have, there were some wildfires in Canada, and the smoke blew on through down to New York, and the sky was orange, it was all hazy, the air quality was terrible. I mean, I didn't really see the sky get orange, but I saw pictures of it. To me, it just looked a little hazy. I don't know. Maybe I need to get my vision checked. Maybe I'm a little bit colorblind. I don't think so. That doesn't sound like me. I don't feel colorblind, but I didn't see any sort of orange sky. Maybe people were adding a little bit of a filter. Yeah. Bad air quality. Everything smelled like smoke. I mean, I thought it was a kind of a gorgeous scent. I think maybe Replica should look into that and call it Canada wildfires. I have no idea how Canada is doing. If you live in Canada and you're experiencing these wildfires, you know, shout out to you. I haven't heard anything about how Canada or how the Canadians themselves are doing. It's just, it's all about how it affects New York. These coastal elites, they just want to talk about how it affects New York. God bless them up there. In a, what do they call Canada? The Great North? The big north, the big country up there. The main things that I know about Canada are that they produced Degrassi and Norm Macdonald. So, for real, shout out to Canada. Love you guys. Thank you so much for your contributions. And you don't deserve this at all. I hope you're all doing okay. I really do. But that was truly something. They said if you spent all day outside in New York, it was the equivalent of smoking 6 cigarettes. So when I went outside, I didn't wear a mask because I was like, that doesn't sound too bad. Like 6 cigarettes over the entire day. If I'm just going to like the train and back, what is that? Maybe a puff and a half of a cigarette? That can't be too bad. I've done far worse after a couple vodka sodas. What was interesting about that situation And really any kind of situation that affects all of New York is it almost turns New York a little suburban for a moment, because you don't really have those conversations in a big city of like, oh my God, the weather today. Did you see outside today? That's crazy. You know that episode of It's Always Sunny where Mac and Dennis, they move to the suburbs and they have a next door neighbor that's always like, it's a hot one today, and it drives them crazy. Very suburban, but also nobody in New York is like, hot one today, except for, of course, like your one neighbor in the elevator, and you kind of don't know what to say. But on a day like that, where the sky is orange, things are hazy, smells like a cigar club, which I don't mind, it suddenly turns the city into like a hubbub of small talk. You don't experience that a lot. I was on my job both days, and everybody who came in was like, oh my God, outside, am I right? There's a lot of crazy stuff outside. And when you work at a restaurant in New York, you don't get that a whole lot. People come in stressed, on the phone, yelling at somebody on the phone about work, and then whispering to you, like, I need the best table in here. And that's basically how you interact with people. They're stressed, they're ready to blow a rack on their anniversary dinner or their business meal or whatever it may be. And you're just like, okay, okay, okay. But that day, those 2 days, people came in and were like, that's smoke outside, huh? Am I right? And I was honestly out of practice with that kind of talk. I haven't lived in the suburbs in how long? Over 5 years? Yeah, over 5 years. So I just said, oh my God, right? I know. It's so smoky outside. It's Smoky Bear out there. It's Smoky. I haven't thought about Smoky Bear in so long. Shout out to him. What did he do? He protected the forest. Girl, Smoky Bear should have been up in Canada. Where was he? Why didn't Biden send him out? Where's our military budget going if not to send Smoky Bear up to Canada? I don't know if he really fights to, like, extinguish those wildfires, or maybe he just tells people to, like, not throw their cigarette butts out in the woods. Hold on, let's Google Smoky Bear and find out, like, what his mission is. An American campaign and advertising icon of the U.S. Forest Service in the Wildfire Prevention Campaign. Oh, the story of Smokey. Let's find out. I would love to know. Oh, this is kind of a long story. Wait, was it a real bear? Smokey was a real bear? Hold on. Firefighters. They received a report of a lone bear cub seen wandering near the fire line. He took refuge in a tree that became completely charred. Burned paws and hind legs. Oof, that's so sad. Did he live? Oh, he lived. He received numerous gifts of honey and so many letters. I mean, he probably can't read. I mean, I don't really know him like that, but probably can't read. He had to have his own zip code because he received so many letters. Oh, he was at a zoo until his death in 1976. That's kind of sad. Well, I hope he had fun in the rest of his life. My God. I think I met somebody in a Smokey Bear costume at a North Carolina State Fair one year. I didn't go to a lot of those. I grew up in North Carolina. State Fair is a big deal. I didn't go to a lot of those. I had a Yankee parents, as they say. So they weren't big on that kind of stuff. But I think I went a couple times, and it's very... A Southern State Fair, it is like the most hedonism that you can experience without getting into drugs and alcohol and sex. The type of food that they had there, fried Oreos were the least of it. I mean, the biggest turkey legs you've ever seen, turkey legs that make you think, what were they feeding this turkey? Jesus, this turkey leg has cankles, my God. This turkey must have been just roided out. You know what? Let's keep exploring the web and Google North Carolina State Fair and see exactly what's going on there nowadays. Okay, it's in October. Oh, right. There's like a barn that you can go in and you can look at pigs, which is kind of exciting. That's not really much of an activity, but also how often can you look at pigs, right? Let's check out this website. Okay, Food and Ride Finder. This is the good shit. Oh my God, it's a map. How exciting. Restricted access livestock. I guess those are the real special pigs. You gotta be someone to look at those pigs. Fireworks nightly. Flower and garden show, how lovely. Okay, this website is difficult to navigate. Oh my God, I love these. One of my favorite parts of the internet is when you Google a place and there are a bunch of questions and answers on Google, because the answers are never anything. Nobody ever answers the question. They just kind of say something that they were waiting to share that they didn't really know where to put it. So somebody says, can I bring a wagon for 2-year-old? I guess maybe they don't want to do a stroller. And somebody replied, I love to go. I have some John Deere ice cream. So thank you to him. I'm pretty sure John Deere is a tractor brand, so I don't really know what that means, but congratulations to him for getting that John Deere ice cream. It sure does sound exclusive. Somebody asked, people have waited 2 years to be able to go to the fair, and people like me drove 2 hours plus away just to find out that the fair is only open for 4 hours. I've been going to this fair since preschool. 4 hours? Are you kidding me? All the way for nothing. And somebody said, not sure where the info came from, but they are not open only 4 hours. Just setting up for the concerts, competitors, and vendors would take longer than that. Somebody said, is the unvaccinated invited? Oh, can't wait to see this. Oh, people are just saying you'd put others at risk. Oh, I was expecting some real good shit from these North Carolinians, but it is a surprisingly liberal state. Someone said, oh, baby. Baby, as soon as I said, North Carolina isn't as southern as you think it is. Hello, do y'all have deep fried butter on a stick by any chance? Great question. There are 16 answers to this question. Let's go through them. Haven't seen it this year. I do know some vendors went out of business having to wait out COVID shutdowns. Maybe another vendor will pick it up and make it for next year or even put a new spin on it. You can never go wrong with adding bacon emoji, to anything. Truth. Someone said, lone guy with a hot plate was standing right off highway entrance making them. Love that. Probably they fry anything there. Good luck. I can have a coronary embolism at home for free. No state fair needed or vendors that fry butter. I have no idea what fried butter on a stick would be. How would it not melt? Maybe there's some sort of... I don't know. I don't know how that would work. All caps, how tall does the grandson have to be to ride? Depends on the ride. See, none of these answers are helpful at all. A real helpful answer would be like, stick some cotton balls on the bottom of his shoe, right? That's something. Oh, this is a great one. If you work for the sheriff's department, can you get special parking? Tim... Sassy little Tim answers, I would hope you have to park like everybody else. Does your pants go on the same way? Mine does. Oh, maybe you sing, does your pants go on the same way mine does? Sorry, it's a little confusing, Tim. You have to understand the way you worded it. Well, that's true. You work for the sheriff's department? Hey, you put your pants on one leg at a time just like the rest of us. What do you need a special parking place for? This is incredible. Maybe this October I should fly down to North Carolina just to experience the state fair again. I always feel like whenever I go down there, I have to do something that is just so southern. I can't go down there just to, what, do some Yankee activities? Read the New York Times? Carry a New Yorker tote bag? Not talk to my neighbors? Come on, I gotta do some real southern shit. Fried butter. I'm down for that. I'm absolutely down for that. Anyway, how did I even get there? Oh, I was talking about the smoke in New York. What else do I want to talk about? Oh my God, I have... So I usually have notes for the podcast that's like a set of 5 or so topics, maybe some bullet points, Today, in my notes app, all I have is the transcript of the voicemail that Pete Davidson left PETA. Because if you aren't aware of this, this is really something. This is my favorite current pop culture news. So Pete Davidson, the famous actor, comedian, serial dater, of course, he was photographed buying a dog. And you know how they say, adopt, don't shop. He was photographed buying a dog from a dog store where they sell dogs. And PETA was very angry about this. I don't know exactly what they put out. I guess they put out some sort of statement. Pete Davidson, we're disappointed in you. You're supposed to adopt, don't shop. You know that's true because it rhymes. So why didn't you do it? You're a bad person. Now, Pete Davidson, little old Petey, he called, I guess her name is Daphna, who works at PETA. Maybe she was the one who put it out. He left her a voicemail. And let me read this for you. Hi, my name is Pete Davidson. This message is for Daphna. Thank you so much for making comments publicly that I didn't adopt a dog. I just want to let you know I'm severely allergic to dogs, so I have to get a specific breed. I'm only not allergic to Cavapoos, whatever that is. And my mom's fucking dog, who's 2 years old, died a week prior, and we're all so sad, so I had to get a specific dog. So why don't you do your research before you fucking create news stories for people because you're a boring, tired, bleeped out, fuck you, and S my D, if you know what I'm saying. I gotta say, love this. Love this. PETA has gotten away with too much. And I love animals. I don't think, you know, probably adopt, don't shop. I don't really know much about that movement. I am not quite sure of the significance. I guess probably if you adopt a dog, it's like that's a dog that really needs a home. And the people who are giving them to you are doing it out of the goodness of their heart. And if you buy a dog, then that's, I mean, it's probably some like animatronic inbred whatever, and it's being, maybe it's just the fact the money is exchanged, I'm not quite sure, but PETA, they're all about adopt, don't shop, and they have just gotten away with so much. I do distinctly recall a scandal in which PETA claimed that milk causes autism. And they have also, one of their many, many crimes, they put out some like vegan recipes, and all my respect to the vegans out there. It's more ethical, it's more environmentally friendly, good for you. But I feel like I've seen PETA put out some vegan recipes being like, make this holiday season, don't you dare get a turkey. Don't you dare get one of those North Carolina State Fair huge turkey legs, size of your head. Make this instead. And it's just like the most vile recipe you've ever seen. And vegan doesn't mean gross. Don't get me wrong, I love a tofu. Love a tofu, love a lentil, love, I used to go to this like vegan Ethiopian place. So good. So many beautiful lentil things. But to be like, you're disgusting if you don't eat this vegan slop made out of just egg and nutritional yeast. How dare you? Very rude. Very, very rude. I think PETA kind of has like Brigitte Bardot syndrome. You know how she's like so into animals that like it made her racist? You know about that? It's like she said some crazy stuff. She's been, I think, many, many times like fined by the French government. By the way, can you imagine the reaction? I was like reading her Wikipedia page the other day. Can you imagine the reaction that Americans would have if, like, some American celebrity said something racist and the government fined them? I mean, they're the things that conservatives would boycott. Are you kidding me? And France is a pretty goddamn racist country, so that's saying something. Can you even picture the type of reaction that people would have if Americans, like, you know, started burning down buildings the second the retirement age got raised 1 year, as they should, good for France, good for France. And then we started fining people for inciting hatred. Oh my God. I mean, we can't even handle a Bud Light brand deal over here. People here are like inciting riots because Starbucks like colors their logo rainbow in Canva for a month. What a country we're living in. My God. And the, like, progressive do-gooder organizations we have, they're getting online and yelling at Pete Davidson. Do some work. Get off your ass and work. What was it Kim Kardashian said? Feels like nobody wants to work anymore. It's so true. PETA, get a job. I think more celebrities should be doing stuff like this, leaving angry, explicit voicemails to organizations and publications who talk shit about them. Good for him. And I don't feel especially bad for celebrities in general. I do feel bad for celebrities. I don't feel bad for them as rich people, because wealth is good. But fame, not so good. I don't know why people act like celebrities have lives that are so much better than, like, regular rich people. Being regular rich is the dream. You get so much security in your life, and you don't have to be written about on Daily Mail every time you're, like, spotted glancing at somebody. Hello? Good for Pete. Let's get these celebs just absolutely feuding with these people that are writing these stories about them. Why should it be a one-way street where they can say whatever? And it's cathartic for the rest of us, who can't leave angry voicemails to the people who make us mad at our job. I'm living vicariously. I am. Thank you, Pete, for this gift. And honestly, thank you, PETA, for releasing it to the world, probably thinking that the rest of us would stand with you. We don't really care. So what if he needs a specific dog? What about these people? Let's talk about this. The people poisoning the environment. That's killing animals, for real. Call them out, PETA. You won't. I also want to talk about an incredible movie that I watched recently, an incredible film I watched recently, a sequel to a movie that I enjoyed oh so much. I don't know if you guys have seen the original Book Club. Maybe I've talked about this, maybe I haven't. Oh well, we're discussing it again. The movie Book Club, which I rewatched with my friends in anticipation of the sequel. I watched it the other week with them, even though I've seen it multiple times. Did they like it? I don't know. Couldn't really tell. Wasn't really paying attention to their reactions. Didn't really care either way. Book Club. Oh my God. Okay, it's a movie starring Jane Fonda, Diane Keaton, and two other famous women. I don't really remember their names. But it's about these four older women who have been friends for like decades. And the characters are kind of a Sex and the City situation. It's like a four-girl friend group. One of them, I mean, Jane Fonda's character is very much a Samantha. She has this fierce little short red hair situation. And I think she owns hotels. They're all like rich, successful. She is the one who never settled down. She's focused on her career, and she's having her little affairs on the side. And then there's Diane Keaton, who kind of plays like the Carrie, you could say. I mean, not really, but I think she's closest to that. She, what does she do? I forget what she does for a living, but she's a widow. Her husband died. She's trying to move on. Her kids, one of whom is played by Alicia Silverstone, are so irritating. I mean, that's the main thing I remember about my friend's reaction to this movie, is that they hated Diane Keaton's character's kids. And for good reason. They're always treating her like she's about to die. They're treating her like she's so frail because she's an older woman. They're like, oh my God, you need to move in with us. You're gonna trip and fall and die. You're so old. I just can't believe how old and frail and feeble you are. You're not allowed to have any fun. Hate those characters. And then the other two girls, one of them, she is the only one who is like married. And her husband are kind of on the rocks. They're struggling in their relationship. They don't know how to make it work. They don't have the spark like they used to. He's kind of having a crisis. He, like, doesn't really want to have sex with her anymore, and he just wants to work on his motorcycle, basically. And then, so she's like the Charlotte, basically. And then the last one is a federal judge. She's a judge. Good for her. she's sort of the Miranda, very career-driven, divorced, not really dating yet. Very, oh, I'm too old for that. We're too old to have any fun. I mean, God, I know people like this who are 25. So, God bless her. I'm sure a lot of older women have friends like this who are just like, we aren't allowed to have any fun. Fun is for college. And after that, once our frontal lobe has formed, it's time to go to bed at 8 p.m. and garden or whatever it is that people like that do. Don't we all know somebody like that who's fully 22 years old and is like, oh my God, I'm done with all the going out stuff. Oh, no, I don't want to make plans. I just want to wear a robe and drink a spritz at home. God, those people. Those people. And I love to stay in, too. But that's just because I like doing my own thing and kind of lying in bed and looking up weird stuff on the internet. Not because I hate making plans. And because I think I'm too old and crotchety to be going outside and speaking to people. Those are two very different things. So that's the friend group. They've been friends for forever. They have a book club together, which, by the way, I'm so inspired by that. I wish literally any of my friends were literate, no offense to them, so that we could do that. And one day, Jane Fonda, the little Samantha character, that feisty little minx, she comes in and says, you know what? It's my turn to pick the book, and I have brought you ladies four fresh, new, paperback copies of the famous book 50 Shades of Grey. And they read 50 Shades of Grey together, and it changes their lives and their relationships, and the one who's married is inspired to find the spark back in her marriage. The single ones are inspired to go back to dating, and eventually the Samantha character, she may or may not find love. I mean, I won't spoil it, but I'm just saying, she may or may not. It could go either way. Maybe she finds love, maybe she doesn't. But I think we all know the answer to that. Hello. It's such a, I wouldn't say it's a good movie. By any means. And that's fine. It doesn't have to be a good movie because it's just such a feel-good movie. It's so fun. There is just something I absolutely love about, first of all, stories about older women at all. Because those are not told in Hollywood, because God knows those perverts only want to make stuff about, like, high schoolers exploring their sexuality. Think we have enough of that? I want to see more movies about older women and their friend groups and their lives. Come on now. You know what I feel like right now? Have you seen that video? People posted on Twitter, and it's Reese Witherspoon. This is so funny. It's Reese Witherspoon on a talk show, and she's going, women's stories matter. They just matter. And the audience is clapping and cheering and having the time of their lives. But you know what, Reese Witherspoon, you're so right. Women's stories matter, and not just women who, like, aren't developing laugh lines for another 20 years. I love, love, love a story about older women. Because if you're a woman, and I'm sure many of you are, you're going to be an older woman one day. I want to have some media out there about that so that these young women don't think that their lives are going to end the second they go through menopause. I think that's why maybe one of the, honestly, if I'm being real, many reasons I loved And Just Like That. Once again, not something I think is good, but yes, a show that I rewatched multiple times. Because let me tell you, both that and Book Club, the messages I got is like, when you hit a certain age, you're still going to have friends, you're still going to have fun, you're still going to be hot and sexy. And I love that. And shout out to Jane Fonda for teaching us that over and over and over. She is hot, hot, hot. Anyway, Book Club 2. I think it's called Book Club The Next Chapter. Okay. All right. Because when you think about it, there's chapters in a book. And they're in a book club. So there you go. So Book Club 2, The Next Chapter, it explores these ladies' lives. It starts off during, I don't know if you've heard of this, but the coronavirus pandemic. There was this thing where this crazy illness was going going all around town, and everybody had to stay inside, and we had to go on TikTok, and we had to make TikToks. It was mandated by the government, and we kind of had a grand old time. In retrospect, we had some fun, I gotta say. But it starts off, they're like on a Zoom meeting. By the way, the Zoom meeting is hilarious. They're all like so perfectly centered. And we all know women of a certain age do not set up angles like that on Zoom. But whatever, it's a movie, it's fiction, we're having fun. And they're talking to each other like, oh my God, we can't believe that there's a coronavirus pandemic. This is crazy. We've all felt that feeling. And then some of the restrictions were relaxed. They get to see each other in person. And this isn't a spoiler because it's basically the premise of the movie, but Jane Fonda's character, she shows up with a big hunkin' engagement ring. And they say, oh my God, look at you. She's finally settling down. And they're also inspired, much like they were when they read 50 Shades of Grey. And as we all were when we watched the original book club movie, and they go, you know what? We always wanted to take that dream vacation to Italy, and we never took it. What if we went to Italy as your little bachelorette trip? And of course, Miss Judge is like, she's retired in this movie. She's like, oh my God, no, I'm so old. I have to stay home and be old. I have plans. I have to drink herbal tea. I have to make supper. I have to knit cardigan. I'm not allowed to have fun because I'm not fertile anymore. And that's how it works. But eventually, of course, she comes to her senses and she goes, you know what? Yes, I am going to go to Italy with the girls to celebrate the engagement of my good friend, played by Jane Fonda. And they go to Italy and there's all sorts of hijinks and they meet men. I think like one of them meets a man, but still they get catcalled by Italian men. Obviously they see beautiful sights. They wind up in silly situations and we all have the time of our lives. It is a little cringy, but only in ways that are so, so charming. I can't recommend it more highly. There is nothing I wouldn't do to be in this friend group. Oh my God, to join that book club, I would die. I would die. Should we start a book club? I don't know if I have time, but I would love to start a book club. That would be so much fun. Probably a great movie to watch with your mom. Like, maybe not my mom because she likes, like, well-written stuff and all that. Ugh. But maybe if your mom is the type to watch, you know, Young Sheldon, she would enjoy something that's as earnest and as really as fun as this movie. I had so much fun. I saw a Letterboxd review that was like, me and the middle-aged women were in the theater clapping and cheering like it was Avengers Endgame. And that's how I felt 100%. I was like, yes, they're going to Italy. I should have given it a standing ovation, honestly. Honestly. Anyway, I guess let's answer a couple questions. Once again, I did not prepare for this at all, so I don't have any picked out, but let's go to Instagram and let's go to my little stories archive from the last time I asked for you guys to send me questions and let's pick a couple random ones. Okay. Oh, here's a big question. Okay, somebody says, girl, I'm lost. Please explain what is the meaning of life to Glam Demon? And then they followed it up with, I am tripping balls, with several exclamation points. And then they said, love you, BTW. Thank you very much. Thank you. What is the meaning of life? Okay, if I were to come up with a meaning on the spot, I mean, I would maybe go to that speech that Joan Didion gave to some graduating class where she said something along the lines of, what I would encourage you to do is not to go out into the world armed with your exercise program or whatever, just throw yourself out into the messiness of the world. I think that might be the meaning of life. If I were to give you a meaning right now, I think the human tendency is to spend so much time being like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. What's going to happen? Am I doing something wrong? What's the meaning of all this? And I think the meaning is just to throw yourself into it. Have some fun. Have some trying times. All of the above. I think the worst way to live your life, and we're all guilty of this, is to constantly be trying to figure it out and be trying to find, like, what am I supposed to be doing? What's the meaning of all this? What's this for? What should be going on? What's the right thing to be doing? And just to do stuff. Just to put your foot, your, in my case, size 10 foot, step it out into any direction and see where it leads. To make some spontaneous decisions, maybe do some crazy shit, pick up a new hobby, throw yourself into some torrid affairs. That to me is the meaning of life. Easy. Next question. Okay, tips on how to get started sewing for a crafty girl, smiley face. Oh, great question. I've been saying I want to get back into sewing this summer. I used to be a much bigger sewer, and I had so much fun. I would say, first of all, get yourself a good sewing machine. I like the Singer Heavy Duty is a good, solid, not too pricey one. I've had a few sewing machines in the past, and they can be quite testy. I mean, sewing machines have probably added more stress to my life than men have. They truly, truly have. Adjusting the tension, needles breaking, all sorts of stuff. That's a sewing machine I've had minimal problems with. Get yourself that. If you're really into it and you have enough money and space for it, get yourself a serger. And an iron and an ironing board as well. That's essential. One of those good, like, clear rulers. What else? Some fabric scissors, obviously. A fabric marker. Some tracing paper. I would say learn a little bit about fabrics, because you gotta know which fabric to use for what you're making. I mean, when I first started sewing, the type of shit I was making, I mean, the type of fabric that I was using did not make a difference to me at all. I was probably making, like, trousers out of t-shirt fabric. It was a crazy time. And then you want to, if you don't have a mannequin, because draping is a whole thing, I'm not even going to go into pattern making. I don't even want to entertain that for a moment. Pattern making is so complicated, so much geometry involved. I am not into it. I took that class when I was studying fashion, and I did not have a good time. Get yourself some patterns. Try not to, like, go to Joann's and get them full price. I've seen a lot of, like, sewing patterns at thrift stores, not really in the city, but in the suburbs. I've seen a lot of sewing patterns and, like, good, like, vintage sewing patterns at thrift stores that I'm sure lovely old ladies have donated. You can also find some online that you can go to your local Staples Print and Ship Center and print out. Of course, you're going to have to tape them together, and that's a whole ordeal, but I think it's a little bit fun. They'll usually tell you on the pattern what kind of fabric to make it with, so there you go. And start there. Start with patterns. That's how you get the hang of it, and eventually you can move on to, like, altering other stuff, but I feel like starting with patterns is a good way to go. Don't forget to pay attention to the grain line when you're arranging those pattern pieces. That was another mistake I made over and over when I first started out. I did not give a fuck about those grain lines. I was laying those pieces out whichever way I so pleased. Topsy-turvy. Didn't matter to me. That's how I would get started. And have some fun. Let's do one more question. Ooh, someone said, non-academic things to be proud of / aspire to from a fellow dropout. Now, I don't know if I'm still considered a dropout because I'm back in school. I mean, I guess I still dropped out, you know, just because I came back. right? Like, if you go back to your ex, you still broke up with them. It's just that you also got back together. Yeah, I think I'm still a dropout. This is a good question. Here's the thing, okay? When people talk about, like, oh, I feel shame about this, like, I'm not proud of myself because I dropped out of school. To me, it's like, well, be proud of yourself for making it through that, right? I mean, you should be proud of yourself for, like, making it through school if you do that. But also, dropping out of school, it's not like you took the easy way out. That's tough, too. You were probably, like, in a program, in a situation that you didn't like. You had to make a hard decision to drop out of school. And then you had to keep living your life with, like, sort of a disadvantage of not having a college degree. I think that's something to be proud of, right? Making it through that. Like, I went to school, studied fashion, was like, ooh, actually, I hate fashion. Had to make the decision to drop out. And then I kind of did my own thing, made my own way for a couple years. Freelancing, no degree, not much of nothing. And managed to do that. And then, of course, made the decision to go back. But it's like, I think that's something to be proud of. Even if you didn't finish school. And even if you do think that, like, maybe you took the easy way out and you're, like, unemployed and moved back with your parents. It's like, you survived that. That's a hard thing to do. That's something. It's like when somebody gets divorced and they're like, oh, my God, I'm so ashamed. Like, my marriage failed. I couldn't fix my marriage. And it's like, no, you should be proud you survived a divorce. Is that not something? Plus, there are plenty of people who, like, do well in school and don't do well in life, or, like, vice versa. Well, it's good, obviously, to have a degree. That's good. Academic accomplishments don't last forever. They're fleeting, because school only lasts so long. And I highly doubt that any of the people you know who graduated college are looking at themselves in the mirror and being like, yes, I graduated school. I have a degree. Like, they don't give a fuck. They have to come up with reasons to be proud of themselves, too. So best of luck. Shout out to you as a fellow dropout. You're fine. You're doing fine. And as I've learned, you can always go back and not study fashion the second time around. Anyway, that's all for today. This little unplanned, kind of all over the place episode. Hope you had fun with me. And I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.